Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2476 with a release date of Friday, April 11th, 2025 to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Mount Athos contacts will be honored for the DXCC Awards program. Meteor Scatter Exercise provides a dress rehearsal for 2 later this year. And get ready for World Amateur Radio Day. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2476 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Jonesboro, Arkansas, here's Skeeter Nash, N5ASH.
Our top story brings us the resolution of a question that had been simmering since the Mount Athos de-expedition team terminated its activation suddenly this past January amid controversy. If you contacted the team, there is some good news for you as we hear from Jim Dameron, N8TMW.
The DXCC desk of the ARRL has determined that contacts made with the SV1GA/A team at Mount Athos this past January meet the criteria for counting toward the DXCC award program. The ARRL made the announcement on its website on Friday, the 4th of April. DX Chasers had been waiting to hear whether their QSOs counted ever since the team's planned 10-day operation was quickly and unexpectedly halted amid controversy. Local authorities challenged whether the hams had obtained the appropriate permission to be there. Mount Athos, an autonomous region governed by the monastic community in northeastern Greece, is a World Heritage Site and 28th on the Club Log Most Wanted list. The ARRL ended its announcement by saying, quote, any future operations by this team from Mount Athos will require additional documentation for securing accreditation for DXCC credit, end quote. This is Jim Dameron, N8TMW.
There will be April showers, meteor showers, that is, and volunteers are needed to monitor an event this month that is known as the Lyrids Shower. Andy Morrison, K9AWM, has the details.
This is a big year for meteor scatter experiments to be conducted by HAMSCI during the Perseids showers in August and the Geminids shower in December. For hams who are hoping to participate in either or both of the meteor scatter QSO parties taking place during those events, there is important work to be done this month. The Citizen Science Research Group is encouraging operators to get ready by setting up your equipment now in time for the Lyrids shower, which will be peaking on the 21st and the 22nd of April. The days before and after those dates are also expected to provide good opportunities to take advantage of meteor scatter. Radio operators may participate either actively by calling CQ or passively by monitoring and reporting. Operators may use MSK-144 within the WSJT-X software on both 10 and 6 meters. SWLs and hams may also participate passively by monitoring via PSK Reporter to send in their findings. Details about HAMSCI's plans for the meteor scatter investigations can be found at the link that appears in the text version of this week's newscast at arnewsline.org. This is Andy Morrison, K9AWM.
With Friday, April 11th, as its deadline for initial comments, the U.S. Federal Communications Commission will begin reviewing public suggestions on what regulations to cut to reduce unnecessary agency burdens. Regulations covering everything from commercial broadcasting to consumer wireless devices to satellite operation. Outside the commercial sector, ham radio operators have weighed in too, as we hear from Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
Suggestions varied widely amongst hams who responded to the FCC's invitation, but for the most part, there appeared to be a strong call for continued regulation of amateur radio, with no changes to the 3-tier license system or testing. Some hams did request changes, either that the license system be streamlined or simply be eliminated. The spectrum appeared to be a major concern as some hams pressed the FCC to retain amateur privileges on the current bands. The FCC has set April 28th as the deadline for reply comments. All filings on the FCC website should be made in reference to docket number 25-133. This is Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
Using the communications style of a tactical net, a team of hams in Pennsylvania has become a reliable source of reassurance at an event known as a mud mosey. Travis Lisk, N3ILS, explains.
The forecast for Saturday, April 12th is irrelevant. Under gray skies or sun, the second annual Great Marsh Mud Mosey and Mud Walk moves forward in Pennsylvania. As Tom Costello, KC3TNT, told Newsline, quote, "It's rain or shine, that's why they call it the Mud Mosey," end quote. Tom is at the helm of a collection of hams from Remote Communications and Command, or ARCOM for short. This is the second year they are serving as communication support for this fundraiser, which benefits the Great Marsh Institute, a 700-acre natural and scientific environment, and Chesco Search Dogs, a nonprofit group that works with search and rescue operations. The job for the team of 15 amateurs at the Mud Mosey is to keep the line of communications open on 2-meter simplex through a modified tactical net for the benefit of the 80 to 100 runners or walkers on the 5-kilometer path. The trail, like the event name suggests, can get more than a little bit down and dirty, even for the more mellow participants who tackle their shorter route as a 1-mile walk. Tom said that next year's operations may be conducted with the addition of a mobile repeater. The day is serious business, but in a light, family-friendly party atmosphere. The Mud Mosey hour passes quickly, and then the focus turns to the search dog demonstrations, the DJ, and the food and beverage trucks. That makes it all, hopefully, more fun-packed than mud-packed. This is Travis Lisk, N3ILS.
From time to time, we here at Newsline like to acknowledge some of our colleagues in amateur radio media, people who, like us, work to keep hams around the world informed. One of them is retiring from the GB2RS newscast in the UK at the age of 101, and we are about to learn more about him from Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Happy birthday and happy retirement to Peter Valentine, G0NQZ, who upon reaching the age of 101 on the 12th of April has decided to take things a little easier, but only just a little. Peter is still an active radio ham and participant in regular nets, including the HF nets of the International Shortwave League and the Radio Amateurs Old Timers Association. Peter has, to his credit, an enviable record as a presenter for the Radio Society of Great Britain's GB2RS report. Best wishes and see you on the air, Peter. This is Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Each year, the Amateur Radio Newsline Bill Pasternak Memorial Young Ham of the Year Award receives nominations of promising young hams who truly impress our judges. It is time once again to give them an opportunity at the recognition they deserve. Consider nominating an amateur radio operator 18 years of age or younger here in the continental United States. Consider someone who has talent, promise, and a commitment to the spirit of ham radio. Find application forms on our website, arnewsline.org, under the YHOTY tab. We are accepting nominations through May 31st. Hams around the globe are marking World Amateur Radio Day on April 18th, and ham radio clubs and other groups have been devoting a day, or even the whole month, to a variety of activities to celebrate the 100th year since the founding of the International Amateur Radio Union in Paris, France. The IARU has declared the theme of this year's celebration, Entering the Next Century of Amateur Radio Communications and Innovation. Although the theme of the anniversary is forward-looking, the IARU urged hams to appreciate the gains made in previous decades, too. A message on its website noted that this is, quote, "a time to reflect on our achievements," end quote. Member societies in each region of the IARU will be marking the occasion in a variety of ways. Some are hosting open houses to demonstrate amateur radio to the public. Others have already been on the air this month, activating special event stations with call signs ending in the suffix WARD. In Canada, the mayor of the capital city of Ottawa has issued the first municipal proclamation ever of Amateur Radio Day as the Ottawa Amateur Radio Club and West Carleton Disaster Relief present demonstrations for the public at several locations. Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio News Line, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the W4HPL repeater in Cookeville, Tennessee, on Tuesdays at 8:30 p.m. local time. Avid readers might argue that the best books are the ones with a happy or at least a pleasantly unexpected ending. A number of public libraries in Montana just received a new collection of donated books that contain no endings at all, just beginnings that hold promise. Ralph Squillaci, KK6ITB, picks up the story from here.
The possibilities are endless in amateur radio, and so are the new books in the newest collection on the shelves of the Great Falls Public Library and other public libraries in Montana. The books were donated by the Great Falls Masonic Amateur Radio Club, which received a grant from the ARRL to provide library patrons with study guides for the technician, general, and amateur extra exams administered by the FCC. John Ross, KD7HKF, the club's vice president, said the Great Falls Library's bookmobile will also carry a set of the books. The ARRL grant has also funded collections of books for Montana's Cascade Library, Fairfield Library, and the library at the Malmstrom Air Force Base. Meanwhile, the library and the club have agreed that ham radio orientation sessions will be held at the Great Falls Library if enough community members are inspired to learn even more. The relationship between amateur radio clubs and libraries in the U.S. is a strong one. Previous such gifts of books have occurred at other libraries around the U.S., including the Jackson Amateur Radio Club, which donated books last year to the Madison County Library System in Mississippi, and the Cowley County Amateur Radio Club, which made a similar donation earlier this year to the Arkansas City Public Library. This is Ralph Squillaci, KK6ITB.
Whoever said that in this electronic age we are becoming a paperless world obviously hasn't been introduced to some of the newest technology in batteries. Several of these highly portable sources of energy are still experimental. They do boast of being environmentally friendly and all make use of paper as a key ingredient. Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, tells us about them.
Researchers are developing batteries that are made partially of paper, and the results have been showing varying degrees of promise, though none of them appear ready yet for portable ham radio. In France, a company called BEFC is pioneering what it considers to be a single-use, eco-friendly alternative to the small button battery that is fully compostable when the user is done with it. More of a paper-based bioenzymatic fuel cell than an actual battery, it releases energy when moisture is released, and it comes into contact with sugar and enzymes that are infused into a layer of paper between the unit's carbon electrodes. Generating only 0.75 volts, it still has a long way to go before it can power more than perhaps a sensor or a medical device someday. In Singapore, researchers at the startup company Flint claim they have a rechargeable battery in the works that will ultimately replace lithium batteries for use in grid storage and electric vehicle power. Like the French battery, it too is designed to be compostable, and it makes the use of the cellulose in paper for the transfer of ions. 10 years ago, researchers in the U.S. at Binghamton University in upstate New York developed what they called microbial paper-based batteries. That is, they derive their power from bacteria's metabolism. Like its French counterpart, however, the output has been deemed too low for practical use. So the research continues. To scientists, for now, it all looks good on paper. This is Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
In the world of DX, Nobu, JA0JHQ, is on the air as T88PB from Korer, IOTA number OC009, Palau, on the 11th through the 13th of April. Nobu is also participating in the CW portion of the Japan International DX contest that weekend. See QRZ.com for QSL details. Two special call signs are being activated to mark special occasions for hams in Cyprus. The call signs 5B50CARS and 5B100IARU will be on the air to mark the 50th anniversary of the Cyprus Amateur Radio Society and the centenary of the International Amateur Radio Society, respectively. Activity is expected on the 15th and the 18th of April, and again on the 25th and 26th of April. The Hams are also celebrating the 75th anniversary of IARU Region 1. See QRZ.com for QSL and certificate details. Listen for Luke, ZS6LUK, using the call sign A25LUK on the air from Botswana until the 30th of April. Luke is operating SSB, FT8, and JS8 call on 40, 30, 20, and 10 meters. See QRZ.com for QSL details. Marcus, DJ4EL, is on the air holiday style as IF9/DJ4EL from the Egadi Islands, IOTA number EU054, from the 13th through the 23rd of April. Marcus will operate SSB on 40 through 10 meters from SOTA and POTA sites on the islands of Favagana, Lavanzo, and Maretimo. See QRZ.com for QSL details. Who understands the pain of not being able to get on the air better than an amateur radio operator? So when a small community broadcast station in Australia developed an issue that hampered their ability to transmit, some local hams came in to help them troubleshoot. Graham Kemp, VK4BB, has our final story for this week.
The friendly voice of WAY, WAY-FM, along with its music and news, has been silent for too long. The Christian-based, listener-supported community station needed even more support, in this case, amateur radio support, to get back on the air. The problem was twofold, both with the 10-meter-high baselink antenna and at the broadcaster's remote transmitter station. The cause wasn't completely clear, though, until Hayden, VK7HH, and his friend Nicholas hiked up a rugged mountain 1,100 metres above sea level in Tasmania on the 29th of March, repaired the solar-powered FM band transmitter station by installing a temporary self-built antenna, and got the station back on the air. Hayden told Newsline in an email that all they had to do was swap the feed lines over to another set of antennas for the studio transmitter link to the remote site and install the temporary main transmitter antenna. The existing antennas were showing a bad SWR, resulting in the transmitter folding back the power to protect itself. The two-hour drive up and another 1.5 hours back, plus the 3-kilometer hike afterwards up steep slopes, was well worth the effort. Happy to have been helpful, the friends documented their adventure in two installments on Hayden's YouTube channel, Ham Radio DX. Like the radio station they assisted, they're hoping this will provide a little bit of inspiration. This is Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
Have you sent in your amateur radio haiku to Newsline's Haiku Challenge yet? It's as easy as writing a QSL card. Set your thoughts down using traditional haiku format, a 3-line verse with 5 syllables in the first line, 7 in the second, and 5 in the third. Submit your work on our website at arnewsline.org. Each week's winner gets a shout-out on our website where everyone can find the winning haiku. With thanks to Amateur Radio News Daily, ARRL, Binghamton.edu, David Baer, K7DB, FCC, Great Falls Masonic Amateur Radio Club, Hayden Honeywood, VK7HH, Ham Psi, IARU, New Atlas, QRZ.com, Radio Society of Great Britain, Radio World, ShortwaveRadio.de, Tom Costello, KC3TMT, Wireless Institute of Australia, YouTube, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. We remind our listeners that Amateur Radio Newsline is an all-volunteer, nonprofit organization that incurs expenses for its continued operation. If you wish to support us, please visit our website at arnewsline.org and know that we appreciate you all. We also remind our listeners that if you like our newscast, please leave us a 5-star rating wherever you subscribe to us. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Skeeter Nash, N5ASH in Jonesboro, Arkansas, saying 7-3. As always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2025, all rights reserved.